I'm sorry I haven't a clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week on a visit to the city of Bradford in the historic county of Yorkshire. A visit to Bradford's fine museum will reveal that the early history of the city is inextricably tied up with wool, so you can't read it. The Brontes were the 19th century literary family from the nearby village of Haworth. Most famous is Emily, who wrote Wuthering Heights, with the other Bronte sisters, Charlotte and Anne, providing backing vocals. Their brother was called Branwell, which was his mother's maiden name. He later changed it after his bank account was cleaned out by someone who guessed his security question. There are many diverse products that originated in Yorkshire. The drug Prozac was developed here when clinical trials raised volunteer spirits to a euphoric level of mild grumpiness. And coming from Tadcaster, John Smith's bitter. And who can blame him? Now, the area known as Little Germany is of particular historical and architectural interest in central Bradford. The name comes from the German cloth merchants who arrived in the 19th century. But the area is best known now for its budget stores. However, the people of Little Germany like to keep up traditions, and every September they invade Poundland. The city is rightly proud of its rugby league team, known as Bradford Bulls, who did pretty well in Europe until they came up against Malaga Matadors when they were slaughtered. And during the 90s, West Yorkshire Police launched a campaign to rid Bradford of organised crime. Within a year, the number of serious crimes reduced by half, and West Yorkshire Police celebrated by taking a week off, at which point the other half stopped. And we are today guests of Bradford's fine Victorian theatre, St George's Hall. It was constructed by the same architect who built London's Apollo Theatre. The Apollo's ceiling famously collapsed last year. A disaster which was discovered to have been caused by old weak material. So... So, protect your heads, as I say, let's meet the teams. They are on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Timbrooke Taylor and Andy Hamilton. And taking our place alongside me and preparing to keep score, please welcome the ever delightful Samantha. Okay, we start this week with a look at movie titles. In this round, I'll ask the teams to suggest films that would have been quite different if the title had gone wrong with the addition of just one extra word. So, Barry, can you start?
Battle of Fern Britain.
Tim?
Little Crack House on the Prairie.
Andy?
12 years a slave trader.
Graham?
Gross Point Blankety Blank.
Pope Gregory's Girl.
Expenses Fiddler on the Roof.
Donny Osmond Darko.
Gandhi Pandy.
Terminator 2 Judgment Day 3.
Murder on the Late Orient Express.
E.T. Gromit.
101 Delicious Dalmatians.
An American in Paris Hilton.
Batman Begins Knitting.
Cool Hand, Dr. Luke.
Titanic 2.
Well, it's music time now with the round called One Song to the Tune of Another. This is where the teams will take a song, discard the words and replace them with the words taken from another song. To put it in simple terms, it's like selling counterfeit luxury goods. What happens is that the fraudsters take the bottle and packaging of, say, an expensive bottle of perfume, but fill it with a different, cheaper scent. The whole thing is a terrible scam, and what kind of person, I hear you ask, is happy making a living from an awful racket? At the piano, Colin Searle. Okay, we'll start with you, Tim. I'd like you to sing the words of Sexual Healing by Marvin Gaye to the tune of Oh, I Do Like to Be Beside the Seaside.
Tonight, baby, I'm hot, just like an oven, I need some loving. And baby, I can't hold it much longer, it's getting stronger and stronger when I get that feeling. I want sexual healing, sexual healing, oh baby. Makes me feel so fine, it helps to relieve my mind. Sexual healing, baby, it's good for me, and that's just...
Well, it's your turn now, Andy, and I'd like you to sing the words of Knees Up Mother Brown to the tune of Jerusalem.
Knees up, Mother Brown, knees up, Mother Brown, under the table you must go. Mother Brown, oh my, what a rotten song, what a rotten song, oh what a rotten song, oh my, what a rotten song, and what a rotten singer too.
And finally, Graham, I'd like you to sing the words of You've Lost That Loving Feeling to the tune of Scotland the Brave.
You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips, and there's no tenderness like before in your fingertips. You're trying hard not to show it, baby, but baby, baby, I know it. You've lost that loving feeling. Oh, that loving feeling, you've lost that loving feeling. Now it's gone, 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 whoa. Now there's no welcome look in your eyes when I reach for you. Now you're starting to criticize little things I do.
Well, our next round takes a look at crime. According to our sister program, Moneybox, our motor insurance... Our motor insurance premiums are going up because the companies say fraudulent claims cost them £800 million a year, which makes you think they should consider not paying out on the fraudulent claims. In fact, our very own Timbrook Taylor was recently the victim of identity theft. The police are looking for a penniless fraudster who's never heard of himself. In the round, one team will be criminals, while the other will be police officers whose job it is to discover precisely what it is their opponents are guilty of. Tim and Andy, you can start by being a pair of felons. The details of your crime is now being displayed to the studio audience on the laser display screen. And here is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Tim and Andy are members of the FIFA committee. Tim and Andy are members of the FIFA committee.
Right, Tim and Andy into the interview room of Detective Inspectors Cryer and Garden, please. The interrogation starts now.
Come on, sit down.
Yeah. Now, what have you been up to?
Well, can we just can we clarify a couple of things?
A couple of things, yes.
Like accommodation.
Yeah. Yes. We'd like a five-star hotel.
Five-star hotel.
Yeah, before we answer any questions.
Yeah, with jacuzzis and all the trimmings, and by trimmings we mean prostitutes.
Why do you think you deserve all this?
They're treating us like criminals.
Yeah, well, they are.
We're not criminals, we're delegates.
Yeah. Delegates?
Yeah.
That's a new word for it.
Yeah.
And you're a sort of committee, are you?
We don't really have time to answer all these questions. Of course, we might have time. It's very hard to keep track of the time, Tim, isn't it?
It is. Sometimes it is.
Sometimes hard to keep track of the time. Of course, it would be easier to keep track of the time if we had a nice sort of gold Rolex or something like that. You know.
I don't know if it helps, but here is my bank account number.
Yeah.
Mm.
So are you lads interested in sport at all?
We... Sorry.
No.
No. No. No. No, but it's an amusing idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you FIFAR?
Quite right. Okay, so, yes, your turn to be the criminals now, Barry and Graham. Let's see how you fare in the interview room of Detective Inspectors Hamilton and Brooke Taylor. The identity of your crime will now be displayed to the audience via the laser display board, while here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Barry and Graham devised the TV show Splash. Barry and Graham devised the TV show Splash.
So the interrogation starts now.
Do come in. So, what have you done wrong?
Nothing at all.
Nothing?
No, we're very, very proud of what we've done.
Yeah.
Are you royalty of any sort?
In our profession, some of us regard it as such,
yes. Yes, in our line of business, we are. You know, people do what we suggest, and whatever the results.
We are creative,
very,
basically.
Very creative, yes.
Do you work in banks?
Well, we're not that creative, no.
Do you work in government?
No, I said creative.
Are you connected with the entertainment industry?
Well...
It has... Some people have disagreed, but we think we are.
Connected, yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Are you responsible for some form of TV programme or entertainment?
Well, yes. Yes, we're very proud of cramming 30 seconds of action into an hour-long programme.
Oh.
Everything's been going swimmingly so far.
Yeah.
Would you be in charge of Splash, Ben?
Ah.
Well, the next game takes a look at the international world of children. There was a story here recently of an 11-year-old who weighed over 15 stone. When the news hit the American papers, they started a campaign to raise money for the poor, starving children of Britain. Now, we shouldn't be doing jokes about obese people, of course. They already have more than enough on their plate. In this round, the teams are given the first part of genuine children's rhymes from around the world, which they should try to complete. Okay, so we'll start with you, I think, Andy. Can you complete this nursery rhyme? It's from Denmark. Snowman, Frost and Lady Thor went for walks and thought of more. Found a garden seat and sat, talked of love and this and that. Snowman, Frost, a little weak, asked...
Can anyone else smell carrots?
In fact, it goes, may I kiss your cheek? But as Lady Thor grew warm, he began to lose his form. Yes, there's a depressing metaphor in there, isn't there? Okay, Barry, here's a nursery rhyme from America. Great green globs of greasy, grimy gopher guts, mutilated monkey meat, dirty little birdie feet, great green globs of greasy, grimy gopher guts...
And what would sir like for sweet?
It's actually "And Me Without My Spoon" was the real one. One for you, Tim, is a nursery rhyme from Israel. My hat has three corners my hat has. If it did not have three corners...
I wouldn't have started this bloody conversation.
It says, if it did not have three corners, it would not be my hat.
Ah.
Your turn, Graham. Nursery rhyme from Scotland. Wee Willy Winky rins through the toon, upstairs and doonstairs in his nicht goon, telling at the windy, playing at the lock.
Trying to do an accent that sounds like he's a jock.
Yes. It's actually... Oh, you bastard. You set me up. Yes, there he was. No, no, you do a good accent, Jack. Try it.
Whatever it was.
It's actually, are the weans in their bed, for it's now 10 o'clock, is how it ended. Back to you, Andy, and a children's rhyme from Antigua. Right? It goes like this. Children, children, yes, Mama. Where did you went to see Grandpa? What did he give you? Bread and patata. Where did you put it? Upon the ledge. Suppose it drop.
You all right, Jack? No, seriously. You're not having some stroke or anything.
This was actually my audition piece for RADA.
I didn't know you went to RADA.
I didn't. Actually, the line is, I don't give a rap.
Oh, right.
No. Okay, Barry, here's a nursery rhyme from Scotland again. Baloo baliri, baloo baliri, baloo baliri, baloo bali. Gang away, little fairies, gang away, little fairies, gang away, little fairies.
Never mind all that, sir. Blow into this.
In fact, it's the answer is Freyor Bennu. Right, Tim, this is from France. Good King Dagobert put his breeches on backwards. Good King Dagobert put his breeches on backwards. The great Saint Eloi says to him...
Hey, you put your breeches on backwards! In French.
It actually says to him, "Oh, my king, your majesty is badly breeched." "It is true," says the king. "I will put them on again." Graham, here's one from Ireland. There once was a man named Michael Finnegan. He grew whiskers on his chin again. The wind came out and...
He said it was the dog.
It says, as you probably know, the wind came out and blew them in again. Poor old Michael Finnegan, begin again, it says. Okay, well, here are some for any of you to have a go at. Just a few of these. It's one from England. Bobby Shafto's gone to sea, silver buckles on his knee. He'll come back and marry me.
Yeah, right.
There's a rhyme from America. I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here's my handle, here's my spout.
What do you mean, put it away?
It's, of course, it's when I get all steamed up, hear me shout, tip me over and pour me out.
Oh.
That's what it was, yeah. Finally, it's a well-known rhyme from England. This old man, he played one, he played knick-knack on my thumb. With a knick-knack paddywhack, give the dog a bone. This old man...
should not be approached by the public.
Came rolling home. Well, the next game is called Chicken Crossroad, and this is sponsored by the Keep Britain Tidy campaign, who we should congratulate on completing 60 years of hard work. We did try to ring them, but no one was picking up. You want a better joke? Then write it yourself. Right? It's just a little link to keep things nice and light. This round is all about the ancient art of communication. In ancient Egypt, they wrote unintelligible squiggles on walls and worshipped cats. Oh, no, hang on, that's Facebook. Now, in this round, each team takes it in turns to improvise the letters sent between two famous figures, with the two players alternately adding one word each at a time. The opposing team will then compose the reply. So, Barry and Graham, I'd like you to start by composing a letter from Julius Caesar to Cleopatra, then Tim and Andy will come up with a reply, and so on. So off you go, please. Barry and Graham.
Dear
Cleo,
I
am
curious
to
find
on
my
table
an
envelope
containing
a
asp.
Yes,
an
asp.
Therefore,
I
wish
to
know
if
you
and
I
are
an
item.
Not
an
uncoupling.
I
think
I'll
take
the
hind.
The what?
Hind
legs
off
our
donkey.
And
now,
I
would
dance
with
the
donkey
until
it
fell
down
or
thereabouts.
Here.
Here.
Enclosed,
you
will
find
a
small
yet
exotic
and
intriguing,
although
mysterious,
object
which
you
will
know
is
a
traditional
and
honourable
addition
to
your
collection
of
artifacts.
See
you
soon.
Yours,
Caesar.
Dear
Julius,
I
am
in
pain.
But
you
are
oblivious
to
my
pain
because
you
are
a
brutal
man
from
Rome
east
of
Rome
who
I
love
and
loves
particularly
me
when
I
do
the
thing
which
I know
to us is
not in Egyptian.
No.
No.
Which
you
like
so
much,
especially
when
you
came
to
me
in
my
boudoir,
where
I
was
bathing
in
asses
blood
because
I
had
a
shortage
of
milk.
But
never mind
that.
I'm
a
bit
of
a
scrubber.
And
I
am
waiting
for
you
in
Egypt
in
my
Cammy knickers.
Egyptian, all one word.
Yes.
Yeah. And
I'm
writing
this
to
Ward
Zew.
Yours.
Sincerely.
Cleo.
Pat.
Ra.
Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time for a round of Monkey Film Club. Samantha has to leave now as she's off to meet her zookeeper gentleman friend. He's a bit of an expert with monkeys, but occasionally has trouble with them when they get out of their pen. Samantha says that last week he was delighted to see her as she arrived just in time to help him beat one off behind the penguin house. So, teams, your suggestions, please, of the titles of films likely to prove popular with an audience of monkeys, apes, and other primates. So you can start this one, please. Graham.
She wore a yellow gibbon.
Barry.
Clockwork orangutan.
The greatest ape.
National Vervet, starring Mickey Rooney.
Natural born grillers.
Monkey Hote.
Baboon with a view.
Rhesus Christ superstar. Yes.
Banana Karenina.
Breakfast at chimpanzees.
Gone with the windscreen wiper.
The purple arse of Cairo.
Well, so, ladies and gentlemen, as the chicken of time crosses the road of destiny and thinks to itself, does anyone really care why I did that? I notice it's the end of the show, and with that, from the team, Samantha, myself, and our audience here in Bradford, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Timbrook Taylor, and Andy Hamilton were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.